Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Lillard lobs up to Giannis in transition, and he will flush it through.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Lob up top, Porter to Sims, and Sims flushes it through. The Bucks have their first lead since it was a one-point lead late in the first quarter.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, the Bucks remain perfect coming out of the All-Star break. Another clutch win as well as they come back to take down the Miami Heat tonight, 120-113. Big games from Giannis and Damian Lillard, but another game where we're having the Scoot conversation. Kevin Porter Jr., his numbers may not have jumped off the page, but I thought he was incredibly impactful once again. And one of the things that we were talking about during the game broadcast early in this game was dribble penetration and really struggling to slow that down for the Bucks. That was a big piece of the Miami Heat points in the paint in this game. Where were you going to find somebody to step up and be the assignment on Tyler Hero? I think you saw Taurean Prince struggle with that for the most part. The Bucks tried a number of things, not just Taurean Prince. We saw A.J. Green pick up some fouls on him. And along the way, the most impactful defenders on Tyler Hero down the stretch proved to be Kevin Porter Jr. and Kyle Kuzma in the final 4 minutes of this game. So, look, he still scored 40 points. But you came up with the stops you needed down the stretch, and you continue to see this team piece together gritty wins that, I mean, I don't think it's saying too much to state these, all of these games, going back to that Timberwolves game going into the All-Star break, the three wins coming out of the All-Star break. These are all games the Bucks don't win last year, and they probably don't win earlier this season as well. So, still a lot of basketball left. There's still a lot of challenges left on the schedule for the Bucks, but starting to feel like a much different team that they have here coming out of the break.
Yeah, terrific win, Justin. Pretty much an ugly game offensively for the Bucks for about three quarters, but finish it off well in that fourth quarter. That's really all that it matters about getting the win tonight against the Miami Heat team. They held them to 20 points in that fourth quarter. That was the difference in this one, plus 15 for Milwaukee in that last quarter, which obviously helped them turn it around for their fourth straight win. I won't put this on the same level as that win in Minnesota before the All-Star break or go back to New Year's Eve day against Indiana. But
no, this... I will.
Okay. I like that. Okay.
I know you were without Dame and Giannis in that Timberwolves game, and that's why it's easy to say, well, that's maybe the best win of the season. We talked at the time of that game, too. I had the feeling the Bucks were going to win that game.
Okay, you did call
for
it.
For a number of reasons, and the fact that there's the malaise as you're starting to head into the All-Star break. This one, there's something about the voodoo that the Miami Heat put on the Bucks and other teams.
That's a good point.
It was a game, too, where it just felt like, and this isn't like a shot at the officiating, but it felt like everything was going Miami's way. Some of the calls they would get, even 50-50 balls and things that would happen in the Gary Trent Jr. 3 that is ruled off because he makes contact and, as we were told, yanks down the arm. The Brook Lopez foul on a 3 on Andrew Wiggins. Like, all these things started to conspire against the Bucks that whenever they would make some type of stride, the Heat would come right back, that it just felt like, man, are you going to be able to get up the hill on this one? For that reason, and the fact that a lot of the impacts we're talking about were from your role players that you're going to lean on down the stretch here, I do think it's on that level. And I think I would put this towards the top of the list as we start to construct what are some of the better wins the Bucks have had this season.
Yeah, and if you're looking at it too, and I respect that, because if you're looking at the post-All-Star break, Justin, we had the Clippers on Thursday, then they went right to Washington the night after on Friday night to face old buddy Chris Middleton, then return here Sunday. If you're looking at that, I know for me, I'm looking at it like, okay, get two out of three. Get two out of three of those. You don't want to pencil Washington as a win, because I don't want to say any team you can just go in there and win, but you kind of assume that would be a Bucks win. Then you're like, if you could split the Clippers or the Heat. I would look at that as a massive good start for this Bucks team in the second half of the season. You kind of alluded to it a little bit. I'll get to a game ball here in a minute, but I'll tell you this. The officials tonight, not on the game ball list. Shocking breaking news. Not the best performance for them tonight, to put it nicely. However, though, Giannis and Dame were great tonight, especially late in this one. Giannis is just in his own stratosphere as far as what he does night in and night out on both ends of the floor. You could hand this award out to them pretty much nightly. But the game ball tonight goes out to KPJ, his second consecutive game ball. Thank you, Evan. The Bucks entered that final quarter, Justin. You talked about it. Nothing was really going right. You know, they could never really get ahead in that third quarter. They started off really well, but then Bam hits that 30-foot three-pointer as the shot clock's expiring. The 50-50 ball is not going their way. Officials calling a game that was inconsistent. However, at one point in that fourth...
I think they called a consistent game.
I disagree. I don't think it was consistent for one side.
No. Let's not do this. No.
I'm not blaming anything on them, but I'm just speaking the facts, man.
You're speaking opinion.
Yes, that's opinion, but we can get into that a little bit later. Kevin Porter Jr., man, the Bucks entered that final quarter. They were down 8 points. It was 93-85, and at one point to begin this one, he had 7 straight points for the Bucks. He got the crowd going, and eventually when it got close enough, that's when Giannis and Dame took over. A very good win against a good team that we might see in the playoffs. I know they're, as it was prior to the game, the 8th seed, but I don't know. I guess we'll see where it goes as March gets here and into April. But it's a team you might see in the playoffs, and I know we have to dive ahead, you know, and look ahead to what's coming up for this Bucks, especially on this schedule that gets tougher and tougher. But, man, 4 straight wins, and knock on wood, health-wise, Justin, it has looked so much better than it did prior to the All-Star break. You and I think we're both in agreement. We might not agree on the referees, but we were both in agreement that the All-Star break was happening at the right time for this Bucks team, given their health, right? Giannis had missed the first, you know, a few games prior to that. Damian Lillard missed the game in Minnesota. And it just felt like, man, that was the break that the Bucks needed. It always seems to kind of come at the right time, but that especially felt true for this Bucks team this year, given what was going on with Giannis and Dame. And those two, his minute restrictions have gone up. Doc Rivers, I think he said after the game, did he say 31 minutes is his minute restriction? So that went up from the 24. That was just a few games ago. So these are trending in the right direction. And I think the start of this second half of the schedule, you couldn't obviously ask for a better start. 3-0 and 4 straight wins.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as the Bucks make it 4 straight wins now, 3 straight coming out of the All-Star break, and some very, very challenging games in the immediate future for the Bucks. We'll start to preview those, including Tuesday night in Houston against the Rockets, and dig into some more of the final 24 minutes where the Bucks piece together this turnaround coming up after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Throw up. Ill-advised pass over to the corner was taken away by Porter. Porter maneuvering into the front court. Navigates his way through the paint and lays it in through contact. Timeout Miami. It's a 2-point game and the Bucks continuing to fight and claw.
Kevin Porter Jr., or as Doc and the crew refer to him as Scoot, certainly had some big moments in the win tonight for the Bucks. He had that stretch where he carried the offense. The lob to Jericho Sims gave the Bucks their first lead since the first quarter. And I thought he did a good job of staying in front of Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero, by the way, was terrific once again tonight, as he has made a history of putting up those types of performances against the Bucks. Maybe not to the extent we saw tonight, where he scored 40 points, one off of his career high. He set a new career high with 13 made free throws. And the part that stood out the most, he scored 40 points in 40 minutes on 27 shots on a night where he was just 3 of 12 from beyond the three-point line. So it wasn't like he had it cooking from deep. It was dribble penetration. He was getting into the paint and either drawing a foul or getting his floater to work or setting up some of those lob plays. So the Bucks, the job that they did in the second half to you know, not stop Tyler Hero in a game where he scored the bulk of his points in the second half, 21 of those 40, but they made him work for those points a lot more. I think Doc talked about it in the postgame, too, that he just had a lot of freedom in the first half, where there were a couple of plays where he has that slow motion kind of Euro step and the slow speed floater that he gets to. There was nobody around him, and that was one of the things that changed over the course of this game, that I think the Bucks started to find some of the right personnel to throw out there on Tyler Hero. He was 5 of 11 in the first half, 7 of 16 in the second half of this game. And the guys that really seemed to do the best job tonight, Kevin Porter Jr., I thought, started to turn a little bit. We saw a little bit of Kyle Kuzma on him early. Not a whole lot of success for the Bucks, but he was pretty good on him down the stretch. And what we've seen coming out of the All-Star break, granted, I don't know how much things are going to change, 23 games from now when the suspension is up for Bobby Portis? But it does seem like Doc Rivers has started to find a rotation that he really likes here. And two guys that are outside of that rotation are Ryan Rollins and Andre Jackson Jr.
You mentioned Andre there. I'm curious if you and I feel the same way, and maybe we're not going to here, and that's okay. But did you feel a shift in this game when Andre Jackson Jr. came in the third quarter? He was on Tyler Hero. He didn't play much. He didn't play a ton. But that's really when the Bucks kind of started. The things started to change in this game. He played probably just a few minutes. I don't know exactly what it. Here, I can look real quick.
No, he didn't play at all in the third quarter.
Was it the third or the fourth?
He did not play at all in the second half.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
When did he play?
The second quarter.
Second quarter? Okay. Well, it felt like. Are you sure? Yes. Why do I feel like he was in the third quarter?
No.
Okay. Correct.
Played just under 2 minutes. All of
yeah,
it was in the
he
second
played
quarter.
Under 2 minutes, but it was. I mean, it was plus five in the only 2 minutes that he played. I'm telling you, though, that guy, I mean, the game changed when he entered. You're right, because it was right before half. You're right.
Because it was still a 10-point lead.
It was still a 10-point lead, but they got it down to six, and then the Miami Heat had that and one, and then they got the ball back, and then Tyler Hero put it up, and they got another and one, so they extended it to 10, but they had it down to six. And I'm telling you, it was just, you mentioned a few guys that were on Hero. That was the one guy that caught my attention. I even tweeted it out. I said the game, the energy kind of shifted in this one with Andre Jackson Jr. Now, right, your sample size is 2 minutes, so you're not going to sit there and look at it and be like, that was the difference maker. But I'm telling you, this is what makes this team special. This is, in my opinion, this is what makes this team dangerous come playoff time, is they can throw out different, you know, players at defensively and offensively to help combat other teams. And I think that is just the 2 minute example with Andre Jackson Jr., where he kind of, you know, came into the game and things kind of changed a little bit as far as the energy. You know, the Bucks got a few stops on the defensive end. They scored a few buckets. They ended up going in the half, you're right, down 10, but it still felt different when he went into the game. I was curious if we were on the same wave pattern there, but we're not, and that's okay. That's okay. I love Andre Jackson Jr.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's great.
Are you happy for me?
He brings energy. I won't deny it, but no, I don't think you can say the game or the energy change. Like,
it started
change,
to.
It did not. The change in energy was late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter. That's
well, certainly, yes, correct. But I'm saying going into the half, that if you're looking at the first half, there weren't many positives outside of Giannis starting the game with like the first 7 points in 3 minutes. It felt like when the Bucks were down 12 or 14 points when Andre Jackson Jr. entered the game, they got it down to six. Now it went up to 10 because of the things that you and I had discussed. I'm not saying he's the game changer. I'm not saying he's the game ball recipient. I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all. But I'm telling you, there's a role for this guy on this team. And when a guy like Tyler Hero, who you had mentioned, had a fantastic game, and I will co-sign that, I think he did as well, you can toss Andre Jackson Jr. out there for just a few minutes. He's not a guy that needs to get scoring and
but unfortunately, he is a guy that's why I think we're seeing him on the outside looking in. He is a guy that's going to need to score.
No,
like in these games, in the playoff games, and That's why I don't think you can expect much more than what we saw here of doesn't play, plays 2 minutes because of the types of games that the Bucks are going to be in. And, you know, we said it from the start. It's going to be a massive challenge to put him on the floor in a playoff game because of the offense. And
it depends on who he's out there with.
It does not depend on who he's out there with because you're going to be playing 5-on-4 the minutes he's on the floor.
Right, but if it I don't think we're going to agree with this one.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks take down the Miami Heat tonight. 4 straight wins overall, 3 straight wins coming out of the All-Star break. We got a couple of calls we'll get to. And as I mentioned, take a look ahead to the schedule that's coming up starting Tuesday in Houston against the Rockets. We'll do that after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Porter's running the other way. This has been all jump-started by this group. Reserve players primarily. Lob up top! Porter to Sims, and Sims flushes it through. The Bucks have their first lead since it was a one-point lead late in the first quarter.
Kevin Porter Jr., big down the stretch for the Bucks. That lob to Jericho Sims, giving them their first lead since the closing minutes of the opening quarter, and the Bucks come back from, 14, I think, was the largest deficit in this game. 10-point deficit at halftime. Felt like the game was constantly around 10 points. And beat the Miami Heat tonight, 120-113. So they have won 3 of the first 4 games against Miami so far this season. They are unbeaten against, as you look at the other teams, I think this is another important thing to point out. For as much as you've heard mentioned the Bucks, 0-8 against the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks. They have yet to lose to the Pacers, 2-0.
Good point.
They have yet to lose to the Pistons. They have yet to lose to the Orlando Magic. I think it's 3-0 against Orlando.
I think you're right.
They're 3-0 against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the teams that are closest to them in the standings. They're a half game back. Indiana, Pistons, Magic, Heat are the teams immediately behind you. I think there's a pretty significant drop-off once you get to Atlanta
and they're
Chicago.
They're done with Boston, right?
Yes.
They're done with Boston.
Okay. They have one apiece against the Cavs and the Knicks. So for all the talk of the schedule, and there's still 26 games remaining, it's still pretty tough. Where you are, I think the important part is for all of the, the Bobby Portis suspension, when you heard that, Bucks are going to be a play-in tournament team now. In order for that to happen, things are going to have to get really off the rails because of what they've done so far and the ability to close out the head-to-head tiebreakers against the Pistons. Granted, that's not going to come until the last week of the season, those final two games, against the Indiana Pacers. You're right now 2 games in front of the Pistons in the loss column. You're 6 games up on the Magic with the tiebreaker. You're 5 games up on the Heat with the tiebreaker. It's going to take a pretty big collapse for the Bucks to drop into the play-in tournament mix now. That's the important part. You can still catch Indiana and get home court advantage, but you're starting to at least wall off those teams behind you. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with our guy Q in Milwaukee. You're up first.
What a game. I was there tonight, and I have to say that was probably my favorite win of the year so far. I didn't know that NBA referee number 46, Ben Taylor, was such a huge Tyler Hero fan, but besides from them trying to steal the game from us by giving him all those free throws, I think it's just amazing how John Horst reworked this roster in such a short period of time. Kevin Porter Jr., I'm gonna be in between your guys' take on the guard play of this game. So Kevin Porter Jr. came in the second quarter, and he led a little comeback, and they rewarded him by letting him stay in when they reloaded like Dame Giannis and the rest of the starters. And then on the first time down, Giannis brought up the ball and passed it to KPJ. Yep. And he took a fadeaway, mid-range shot. And what did Doc do? He called a timeout and immediately yanked Kevin out. And that's when we got to see A.J. Green, Rollins, and Andre Jackson Jr. play a limited minutes to close out that first half. But I think it sent a message to Kevin. And Kevin did not take a silly shot when he got to play with the starters again to close that game. So I just think Doc Rivers and the coaching staff and John Horst have just done such a remarkable job to, like, work these guys in. And it's great to see them have four wins in a row. And I'm really excited to see what happens here as the schedule gets tougher. We got to win Tuesday. We have to win Tuesday because things just get pretty tough from here on out.
Well,
but I guess I'll go ahead.
So I was going to say you got to split this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Houston is playing pretty well. The Bucks won earlier this season and it grinded out. I think it was 101-100 or either 100-99.
Oh, you had it right. Yep.
Game. Houston's a little bit different now, and we've really seen Amen Thompson develop a lot more. I'm going to be curious to see, I hesitate to call them the new look Bucks, but more athleticism, how they match up with Houston on Tuesday. I think it's going to be a pretty good matchup. The Denver game, Denver's been much, much better of late, reasserting themselves. I think they're up to second in the Western Conference. I think you got to split those two games. After that, it is a difficult schedule, but after that, you have a stretch of four games where you have two against the Mavericks, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Orlando Magic. And Orlando's another team. The Bucks have already taken the head-to-head series against them, but the matchups that they have now as a more athletic team, I'm curious and feel pretty good about that one. The Dallas games, Anthony Davis isn't going to be reevaluated, I think, until March 6th. March 1st and March 5th are your games against Dallas. So you're going to miss him as well. So if you split Houston and Denver, you get into that pocket of four games where I feel pretty good to say I think the expectation should be you win three of the four games, and then that propels you into a huge stretch, which I think is what you're referring to, Q, when you have the Cavs, two games against the Pacers, the Lakers, the Thunder. There's a back-to-back in there. And then a West Coast trip that's just around the corner. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So, yeah, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm assuming the, hey, you got to win in Houston is because Denver is the game after that. And then after you get through those four games, Cleveland, two again, I don't even think it's up for arguing unless the wheels start to fall off here. Those two games against Indiana on the road March 11th and then 4 days later at home March 15th, those are your two biggest games of the season. Because if you win one of them, you win. You secure the tiebreaker with the Pacers. And theoretically, you're moving in front of them as well, since they're just a half game in front of you in the standings. So, yeah, I don't know that I say Houston is a must-win game. They're pretty good at home, too. But I think this stretch here, where you have Houston, Denver, the four games that we just mentioned, going into that game that starts March 9th against the Cavaliers. And by the way, that's a back-to-back. The Magic and Cavs, back-to-back on a Saturday-Sunday. Those games is where the schedule really starts to pick up, and I don't think it really lets up until early April. I think it's important for the Bucks now in this four-game win streak. You split the two games against Houston and Denver. If you can go 3-1 in those next four, great. And then we're talking about a 4-2 stretch. But even if you go 500 in those games and at least keep the pace, the big ones are the two games against Indiana. Those are the important ones. Like, just don't have a 2-4 or worse stretch leading into those games.
Yeah, look at this March schedule, man. This is a game every other day. I mean, on the road from March 18th to the 22nd. It's brutal. But here's the bottom line for me, Justin. I just need the Bucks. I don't care if they're the 4 seed I don't care if they're the 5 seed. I got two thoughts here. One, just to be healthy, but number two, I'm calling it on record right now on February 23rd. I want the Indiana Pacers in round one. I want the Bucks to figure out a way to get that matchup, but obviously to be healthy, I want another shot at the Indiana Pacers, and I want another shot at that team with a healthy Bucks squad. I want it. I want it to happen. I'm looking at a lot of these matchups. You know, it's likely the Bucks are going to be in one of those spots. Right now it would be Indiana. They're playing better, obviously, this year. The Bucks will face them, as you mentioned a few more times. I got a lot of, I want to say the word hatred, maybe hatred building for that team and a few of the players. I really want the Bucks to go in and play Indiana in the playoffs.
I could not care less who it is in the first round, as long as it's no lower than the 5s.
And just be healthy. I mean, you and I have talked about it. Just be healthy.
855-616-1620, the number to join us. A few more calls to get to. And we did already take a look at the schedule for the Bucks, but the rest of those standings in the Eastern Conference, it's starting to get very interesting in that 4, 5, and 6 region. What about the bottom of the Eastern Conference? Because I think the door is now open for two improbable teams to sneak into the playoffs. We'll get into that coming up after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
Kuzma fires up a three, top of the arc, and he plants it right in the heart of the cylinder. Kyle Kuzma with a timely three. Bucks back ahead by three.
Kyle Kuzma big down the stretch as well. He has really fit in nicely since the trade deadline. All of these new pieces, granted, a small sample size, but all of the new pieces have. And have given the Bucks a different dimension here as they come back to beat the Miami Heat tonight, 120-113. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's squeeze in a couple of more calls here. Sam in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Hey, Justin and Brandon, I appreciate you taking my call. Don't want to beat the dead horse about how this game and the last week has really just shown or made me feel like we're not going to win these games before the trade deadline. You know, I felt like you guys went over that, but that's how I feel about these games. Instead, I want to direct my baseball bat to the dead horse of Ajax, and I'm sorry to make mom and dad fight on air again. I hate listening to it, but I got to side with Brandon. He didn't blow the game wide open like Porter Jr. did, which, like Giannis said, it's a steal we got him from Marjan. But the energy feels different on the floor. It made the team kind of look like, hey, there was a chance we could come back in the second. You know, and I understand kind of that we're not going to play him in a game 5 of a series this year. But, Justin, I'm wondering, other than offense, which is, you know, his 55% true shooting's better than Bobby, about on par with Ryan, it needs work. Other than the offense and the confidence in his offense, what do you need to see from Ajax to be a player that's going to sneak into the playoff rotation? Because the hustle and the team kind of dynamic, I think, is there. Other than him feeling kind of just green and new to the league, I'm wondering what would put an end to your generational Ajax hate?
My generational.
Sam with a call tonight.
The big part is the offense. And it is, like, I don't dislike the guy or the player. The issue is the offense. That what we've seen in the league, it's two-way players across the board. Like, this version of the league is much different from the 90s and the early 2000s, where you could get by with some of those. A guy like Anthony Roberson that was playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder earlier in the decade, or last decade, I should say. You could get by with that. Granted, you had generational talents like Kevin Durant and James Harden on that team playing next to him, but that's what you need. And it's moved further and further away from that, where you have to be a threat offensively. And right now he is not. I know he's developed some things. He's worked on playing out of the dunker spot. I would argue that's actually not great for him because of some of the spacing that it takes up around guys like Giannis. And sometimes it's better to have the dunker spot open so you can get more of a runway and attack. And ironically enough, Ajax is the guy that you would target to say, put him on the wing, let him sit in the corner, and then he can come crashing into the dunker spot. I know he's put in the work to get better there, but it's just going to be a challenge to throw him out there in playoff games because of the fact that teams are going to say that is a non-shooter. And maybe he'll have a game where he goes 4 of 5 on threes, and we say, hey, man, Andre Jackson Jr. scored 17 points tonight. That's what turned the game around for the Bucks. But the reality is, when you look at his splits and when you look at the trends of his shooting, the next three games or the 4 or 5 games around that in the playoff series, that's not going to be the shooting line that he puts up. And teams are just going to say, we're leaving him wide open. And we're taking his guy and we're putting him on Giannis or we're putting him on Damian Lillard. So this isn't a, hey, we're washing our hands and we're completely giving up on him, because he does show you some nice pieces. Defensively, he's up there. I think he was far and away their best on-ball defender earlier in the season. I don't know if that's the case anymore because of some of the players that the Bucks have brought in at the trade deadline. I still think he can struggle at times with quicker guys, and that to me is the one of the bigger challenges, not just the offense, but the fact that when you play him at a two guard and you're playing him next to Damian Lillard, you need him to take some of those assignments, or most if not all of those assignments. And it's the guys like Tyrese Maxey that have seemingly given him the most trouble so far this season. He does, I think, a very good job of defending up. But you've got Taurean Prince. You've got Kyle Kuzma now. You've got Giannis. So, like, those types of guys, you don't have as much of an issue. I'm not going to say the Bucks or the Celtics or the Thunder in terms of defending big wings, but you don't have as much of an issue with those guys anymore. You need it more in the backcourt. And I still think he's not quite there with some of those types of guys opposed to some threes and bigger wings out there. So that's where I come from. While Brandon and I differ on Andre Jackson Jr., again, there's a lot there to like. There's a lot to continue to develop. But I think even seeing the Bucks go out and acquire what they did, it wasn't just the financial flexibility that you get in the offseason, the youth and athleticism that you've added. And that's the other thing, is it's not a bad thing that there are other guys that have probably eclipsed him now in terms of their athleticism and defensive acumen, because the Bucks were in a bad spot if Andre Jackson Jr. was one of one with that makeup on your roster. And now you've started to add more of those pieces. So it's on him to put in that work to stand out even more.
Would you put him on the... This is going to... I know you're going to disagree here. Would you put him on the... PJ Tucker level
of what?
Of like just type of player, because when PJ was out there, he didn't do anything on offense. Well, he took the toughest assignment, most nights.
Present day, absolutely. But in PJ Tucker's heyday, PJ Tucker was the best corner three-point shooter in the league. So if Andre can develop that and get to that point where, even if he's not the best,
just a threat,
that just becomes consistent of, well, yeah, we know we can't leave him when he's in the corner. Like with P.J. Tucker, that was the only time you paid attention to him. Mm-hmm. Anything else he did, it was, do what you want, man. We're gonna let you, if you want to put off the ball on the floor and drive, we'll let you do it. If you're going to take a shot above the break or at the top of the key, we'll let you do it. But if you're in the corner, that's when we're going to get out there and pay attention to you. Like if Andre, even if he can get to that point, it'll be helpful for the Bucks. So, I mean, present day, I would much rather have Andre Jackson Jr. than P.J. Tucker.
I'm not comparing the two. You know, obviously, P.J. in his heyday was fantastic. You know, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not comparing the two players. But, like, I look at Draymond in a similar way. He's not a guy that's going to threaten you offensively. Now, he does things better offensively. You know, he facilitates the ball really well. So that could be the next development as well for Andre Jackson Jr. when you look at the overall player. You know, kind of look at something, a player like that, where Draymond, everybody knows he's going to get in your face. That's kind of what Andre does. He's going to guard, you know, the best player, especially on the perimeter. Sometimes he guards the best player, period. But start facilitating the ball more so. He can run the floor, Andre, that is. So the tools are there. I think they're there. They need some redefining for sure. We won't agree on maybe tonight, but I think overall you and I see eye to eye on Andre Jackson Jr.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as Bucks come back to take down the Miami Heat inside of Fiserv Forum. Now 32-24 on the season and just a half game back of the Indiana Pacers for the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference. We have saved our best for last in terms of the phone calls because Dick in Port Washington is who joins us after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
I'm on top of the world. Hey. I'm on top of the world. Hey.
Four straight wins for the Bucks, taking down the Miami Heat tonight, 120-113. Damian Lillard leading the way with 28 points. Kevin Porter Jr., some big minutes off the bench. And this defense comes up big down the stretch of this game. Bucks shoot 58% during the second half and started to come up with stops. But I think more importantly, one of the things that we talked about after the game Friday night against the Wizards was keep an eye on the Bucks numbers in the clutch the rest of the way here. They've really struggled, to put it mildly, offensively.
Yeah, you laid those
in
up
those
pretty
spots.
Well. Mm-hmm.
Fourth quarter overall has not been kind to the Bucks offense. These are four straight wins, and all four of them have been in clutch situations. Tonight especially, I haven't looked up what it is since this game, but the clutch rating offensively has to have shown some upward movement with the way that they perform down the stretch here. So those may be some of the most important things to monitor for the Bucks and their overall growth offensively in terms of efficiency the rest of the way here. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with our old friend Dick in Port Washington. What's going on tonight, Dick?
Well, I wasn't going to call in tonight until this craziness came up about Andre Jackson. He played, I think, a minute or less. The same points that when he came in as what left. Look at the plus minus. I didn't take a look at that.
Plus five.
It was a plus five. Wow. Okay, we're still down 10.
Plus five in 2 minutes.
Wow. According to the table, he played for a minute. At any rate, the only way this guy should see the floor from here on out is if you got a large lead and you got some guy you're worried about taking it over. Use all six of his fouls. The guy is not an offensive threat. I mean, it's four against five then. And defensively, he's overrated. How many fouls does he usually get? And he ends up sitting on the bench. We have guys better now on offense that play almost as much as good a defense as this guy does. I think he's valuable to keep. You got to get him some offense. But it's crazy to talk that he's going to be part of the rotation. In the playoffs, it becomes a half-court game. He picks them up full court. If nothing else, you can get him tired. The guy from Cleveland, the guard, slips my name. You could put him on him
Donovan
and tire
Mitchell.
Him out, maybe. Donovan Mitchell, later in the game. But if it's a half-court game, what's he going to offer? You can't. Now, it's a big difference with the center that played tonight that we just picked up. He had his first points ever. He plays great defense, and he makes the other team switch a lot more often than they'd like to. And there's a big difference. Andre Jackson, when we had Chris, made some sense to me. It doesn't make sense now, period.
In that comparison, Andre Jackson Jr. to Jericho Sims, I think the big difference is, you know, Sims is a capable rim runner. I know Andre Jackson Jr. can, I don't know if I'd say a rim runner, but he can attack the rim as well. The difference is, you absolutely need your centers to do that, especially if they're not stretch fives. And I think he does it pretty well, but he also gives them a dimension, Jericho Sims does, that they don't presently have on the roster. A defensive guy that can switch like that. A big, I should say, that can switch like that. Brook Lopez is, I'm sure we'll disagree, is still a very effective defensive player and rim protector, but I'm not saying you do it, you know, for 25, 30 minutes a game, but just to have that ability to say, okay, when we need to, we can throw Jericho Sims out there, and we still need to see what the plan is for him and what the trajectory is, because, I mean, we're burying the lead that he's playing since Bobby Portis was suspended. So who knows if that changes. I know a lot of Bucks fans hope that doesn't change. And I think, frankly, he's shown you enough to feel like I'd like to see at least 5 to 7 minutes
Absolutely.
From him out there. But he gives you that ability to, you know, to use boxing terminology, to fight left-handed, to have a different pitch, to be able to throw where you can say, we can switch everything. They did it against the Wizards for a little bit. They did it again tonight, again, where they had a stretch of 5 or so minutes where you looked up and down at the players on the floor and said, we can absolutely switch everything. And that's when the dribble penetration started to drop off for the Miami Heat. So I think that's the big difference there. And I think this was the point that Dick raised. There is value to having Andre Jackson Jr. on your roster and to find the moments. Like, I don't mean this to denigrate him in any way or to say, hey, I'm going to pat you on the head here. Like, yeah, good job, buddy. You tried. But to be able to say, okay, playoff games, final, what did he play, minute 41 tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Final minute 41, final 2 minutes of a quarter in a tight game where, hey, some of the close to quarters the Bucks had tonight were total disasters. We can't have that. And we got a guy that's in foul trouble. We have a guy in the opposing team that's been on a bit of a heater for the final 90 seconds. Let's put Ajax out there to just throw a body on him, wear him down a little bit, take a little bit more off of his plate. You close out the quarter for us, especially if you have a lead. I think that's the big challenge to what Dick brought up, too, is you just can't overstate how important possessions are. Like, I don't want to get too far into the details here, but there's been a lot of trend changes in the league this season by teams across the board that have put an emphasis on maximizing possessions, getting the most out of your possessions and getting more possessions, picking guys up further down the floor. I think last year the average distance pickup rate was 29 feet. So in other words, guys bringing the ball up the floor, when do you really start to pay attention to him? And for guys like Steph Curry and Damian Lillard, it's always going to be longer than what the league average is. But this year, I think I read the league average is 33 feet that you're picking guys up. That doesn't take into account a bevy of situations, but it just speaks to defenses are playing further out and picking up guys further and further out. You're seeing things like teams having their bigs stay back in their own half of the half court to set screens to free up point guards to get going downhill, all because of some of the defensive adjustments and saying possessions are the most important thing in this league. Having more of them, maximizing them, can't score if you don't possess the ball. And so that's where the challenge comes into play with Andre Jackson Jr. is offensive possessions, scoring on those. You need to maximize that, and that's where the struggle currently lies, because that offense isn't fully developed just yet.
Yeah, and I do want to clarify. I'm not saying Andre Jackson Jr. should be starting or getting more minutes in place of player X, Y, or Z. I have zero issue with the rotation that head coach Doc Rivers has used, and it certainly has changed since the suspension of Bobby Portis, and it will probably change once again once Bobby comes back. However, I think when you look at teams that make deep playoff runs and you look at teams, Justin, that compete in the playoffs and go deep in those rounds, you need a guy, like you said, like Andre Jackson Jr., because Tyler Herro was going off in this game. And to your point, that's exactly what Doc Rivers did, only for a minute and 40. And we can argue about what he does offensively, but the game changed when he came in. It was only for a minute and 40, but it definitely changed. And that's all I'm saying specifically for tonight. Not saying overall. I'm not saying he's going to do this, you know, in the future. We will disagree on this until we're both blue in the face.
I know what you're saying.
But I still love you, and I think he changed the game tonight in that quarter.
I'll accept that. I don't think you can say it definitely changed, but you think it changed. I'll accept that.
I'll take it. Me and Sam going down with it.
And look, the last thing I'll say is, like, you need those types of defensive players,
yeah.
Yes. But when you look up and down and look at the teams in front of the Bucks, they're not just one-sided players. Like Derek White.
You're right. Yeah.
Can shoot. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday.
Everybody on Cleveland.
Remains to be seen.
I suppose.
Because, like, we'll see. I think that's still the big question. Look, they look fantastic. I believe they won once again tonight, beating the Memphis Grizzlies. What they're doing, the pace of wins that they're hunting here, it's reminiscent of the Bucks in 2019-20 when they were on pace for 73 wins at one point. Then they suffered, I think, two straight or three straight losses for the first time all season in early March, and then something called coronavirus happened, and nothing was ever the same in the world or for the Bucks that season.
Won the championship there.
But, yeah, look, you got to be able to score, too. And that, because here's what it comes down to. Good offense at this level is going to beat good defense just about every time. Like, you got to work to make it tough. But the way that the game has changed with two-way play, this isn't a knock on officiating. I just think, frankly, the way the game overall is officiated, too, you don't need to give any more help to the offensive players. It makes it that much tougher that if you're great, if you're elite offensively, more 9 times out of 10, you're going to beat elite defense in this league. So that's the importance of being able to play on both ends of the floor. Speaking of elite defense, I'm very curious to see this on Tuesday night because, as we mentioned, it's a different Bucks defense now. It's more athletic. They're able to do some things. Kyle Kuzma, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. We could devote an entire show to maybe not being quite familiar with Kyle Kuzma's game and seeing what he's brought to this team, and I think everybody's guilty of it. Doc Rivers himself said before the game tonight, I wasn't aware of his passing ability and some of the things that he would do, moving the ball in that sense, in transition especially. That's been a pleasant surprise. We always kind of felt like he could give us some of this defensively. One of the other things that I'm sure we'll save for the upcoming shows here, especially if this is the starting lineup that remains for the Bucks. I know we talked about it going into the break of removing Andre Jackson Jr. Do you put A.J. Green out there? Do you look to do something else? It's been Torian Prince, that you're playing him as your two guard, which Doc has talked a lot about. Hey, we got a lot of size in the front court when you got Brook Lopez, Giannis, and Kyle Kuzma. Gives us a lot of length, and I think that's going to help our ability to read passing lanes or at least get our hands on loose balls, rebounding certainly. But when you throw Torian Prince out there as a two guard, that gives you even more length. Yeah. So that helps you make up for some of the shortcomings in terms of size that Damian Lillard brings to the plate for the Bucks defensively. So I'm fascinated to see how that continues to develop defensively for this Bucks team. But all these pieces, the danger is famous last words because it's not a huge sample size. All these pieces so far have fit rather nicely for the Bucks coming out of the trade deadline. And I did see, I'm known to lurk on Reddit every once in a while, I did see immediately after this game wrapped up, somebody pointed out, well, if you told me before the season started that I would be very excited to be watching and rooting for and having guys like Kyle Kuzma and Kevin Porter Jr. on my team, I would have told you I'm crazy, and yet here we are.
They've looked good, man. They've looked good. GM John Horst knocked it out of the park.
Tuesday night, Bucks in Houston to take on the Rockets. Matchup, I believe, of 2-5 seeds in their respective conferences. The Bucks and the Houston Rockets. Houston is 35-22. The Bucks 32-24. And we'll see. Can the Bucks start to move closer and closer to 500 on the road this season? Because as it stands right now, of the playoff teams, not the play-in tournament, top six, Bucks have the worst road record in the league of any of those teams. Actually, they're tied with the Clippers, both 12-15. So can they start to move that closer to 500? We'll find out on Tuesday. 7 o'clock tip for the Bucks and the Rockets. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on 620 WTMJ. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.